Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining the session. Can you please confirm you can hear me right now? For those joining the session, if you can turn off your microphones, we would appreciate it. The event will have to have the introduction of Mr. Tegui through the Amazon, followed by the area interventions in Bolivia, including energy, and then areas in Peru. We will then switch to the application process requirements to keep in mind and who are the organizations that can participate in these interventions. And then we'll have a brief period. We will be selected from the chat. Afterwards, we'll like all these questions throughout the session in the Q&A, and then we will cover next steps. I would like to start the session by welcoming Catherine Clay, who is responsible for the Amazon Fund on FC's side. Catherine, please go ahead. Good morning, everybody. My name is Kathy. I work for the British Embassy and I manage the Amazon Regional Fund from London. To begin with, what's UCACT? UCACT is a program of technical assistance that generates capacities, and its objective of to accelerate the greenhouse gas emission reduction and support just transition, just equitable transitions that contribute to production and economic development, economic development. All the activities that we initiate again, you live by the country and the flexible that country, that project lasts beyond their scope, and that their importance of gender and disability and inclusion are streamlined throughout the process. We also seek to ensure that all these projects are cost-effective, efficient, and do not duplicate. We rely on aligning between each country's embassy, the British embassy, and the United Governor, in this case, Lincoln. So, what's our mission? We look back. That falls under the climate international finance portfolio. Part of the British government's commitments to support countries in increasing their climate emission, their emission reduction ambitions, alongside their nationally determined emissions. In this way, it will back addresses government demands through exercise with the British Embassy in each country, and what we intend to achieve is to advance projects that reduce greenhouse gases, reduce barriers and limitations, and increase the capacity of key institutions for sustainable, green, and inclusive growth. Also identifying opportunities to achieve greater climate ambitions. We are programs theory of change. And as we mentioned before, the program's objective is accelerate the reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. This is a result of the implementation of models, tools, technical mechanisms that guarantee the accelerated climate transition. You can also see the outputs and the activities of the project. And series of changes what guides our programs, activities, and implementation. So where does it impact on? We have two funds, one country fund and two regional funds, and operate across several sectors. For the Amazon fund, we have a product portfolio in the volume sector, and we are initiating proposals in green clean energy sector and a green finance sector. In this region, we cover three, we also have three country funds, which are Brazil, Colombia, and Mexico, along with the Amazon fund. As we mentioned, our portfolio of these of 12 projects in Bolivia, Guyana, Ecuador, and in the upcoming sector. Yes. To give you examples, we have one in Bolivia and one this which consists in improvement. This program has been blessed with a positive balance in what's happening in the implementing partners in Natura, and the counterparts are the Santa Cruz government and local indigenous governments. The other project that we have as an example implemented alongside the community for the reduction of emissions, working with the local government and the environment minister.
We will continue with some additional information regarding the projects that were for clean energy. These projects seem to focus on clean energy as a key pillar for the energy transition. We also intend these projects to promote climate mitigation and promote resilience and adaptation to climate change. This is an open call for proposals, and it's composed of two stages, which we will explain later on. We expect that the projects start around September and October and end around 2027, the latest. The selected projects have a budget of £500,000 per fiscal year and should last around 18 months. We are looking for implementing partners that can be flexible and adapt to additional demands that may emerge throughout implementation during the 18-month implementation. For-profit organizations can participate, but all of the projects needs to be executed in a non-for-profit fashion. This is a general overview of what we are looking for organizations applying in this offer proposals. In terms of the areas of interventions, we are going to provide a very brief overview of the three areas we're covering. We expect that this portfolio covers issues that promote trans and the energy transition in a sustainable way and access to clean energy. We also look for implementing partners that provide low carbon climate solutions that reduce the dependency on fossil fuels and guarantee an inclusive and sustainable climate interventions. The solution to promote technical solutions in Bolivia that promote the following are the two interventions selected through. The first one is focused in promoting and facilitating clean energy access projects in the Amazon region. And the second one consists in structuring the implementation model for private investment at large scale in clean energy in the Amazon region in Peru. To understand who our counterparts or the expected counterparts that we have identified in the construction of these projects and the type of organizations that can present their proposals. The entities that should be related to the outcomes of the project include both public sector, private sector, and academia, alongside national governments and local, as well as local, sorry, as well as national and subnational governments, energy market actors, such as energy producers, energy operators, different financial institutions, both public and private, and academias and technical institutions focused on research. This relates to interest counterparts and the type of organizations that can participate to be selected for these projects include the following: for-profit and not-for-profit organizations, academic organizations, professional associations, or non-governmental organizations, think tanks or research centers, and community organizations, women organizations, indigenous groups, organizations for people with disabilities, such as main partners or as strategies in the implementation. Something important to mention is that government agencies or government departments cannot be selected as grantees. This is important to flag because we do not work directly with government organizations, but we work with them as partners, not as grantees. Now, going more in detail on the presented interventions, we're going to introduce Carlos Inchauste, a program officer at the British Embassy in Bolivia, to go into further detail into the planned interventions for Bolivia. Good morning, everybody. My name is Carlos Inchauste. I'm a program officer in the British Embassy in La Paz. We are very excited to be included in this clean energy portfolio under UK Pact, and we are sure that implementation of these projects will support just energy transition in Bolivia. The presented project for Bolivia seeks to reduce greenhouse emissions through the adoption of electromobility using technological solutions that are local in a context of depleting oil reserves, in the context of depleting oil reserves. This project will be targeted through three different fronts. First one is technical assistance to the National Bolivian Lithium Enterprise in supporting their production alongside international standards. The second is promoting relationships between producers and government institutions in the creation of batteries made in Bolivia. And the third one is supporting the National Electricity Company in the consolidation of their national project for electric vehicle charging networks and charging grids. Some of the activities that we propose as points of reference for this project include an evaluation of the capacities and the challenges in the sector for the elaboration, the creation of batteries, lithium batteries. This includes previews. This is based on prior technical assistance provided by the British government. We also include capacity building in security testing for batteries and cells, and the support in the characterization of materials using techniques, using a variety of technical techniques in this assessment. We also include capacity building sessions for national electric vehicle manufacturing staff, recollection and data analysis for the monitoring and the analysis of these batteries and in terms of performance. We also contemplate the capacity building for staff in the natural resource ministries in the development of public policies and regulations based on data and data analysis from the proposed project activities. We also include the realization of the market study to the introduction of electric batteries for the national fleet of public transportation in the country, as well as validation of slow charging and fast charging systems in country. Another activity is a roadmap based on the International Energy Agency for the adoption of lithium batteries. And across all of these activities, these activities must be designed and implemented, applying inclusive methodologies that are gender sensitive and that ensure the participation of women, people with disabilities, and people from indigenous and rural communities. Here we present a summary of what the project would look like specifically for Bolivia. On the right, we can see the main counterparts. We have Yacimiento de Litio Bolivianos, YLB. Which is in charge of the power production of batteries. We have the Ministry of Energy as an umbrella partner that covers all of these relevant public entities. We have local manufacturers of EVs and the National Electricity Company of Bolivia. Those are the generalities of this initial project. Sending it back to Alejandra. Thank you, Carlos, for these details in the Bolivia interventions, the expected Bolivia interventions. Now, we are going good with Cesar Peñaranda, another representative from the British Embassy in Bolivia. Cesar. First of all, thank you for participating in this event. Hopefully, we can work together in the future. We are thankful for your interest in participating in these projects, which can be play a key role in transition processes. Just to provide a little background before starting, just sharing that the UK Embassy in general is having a deep impact in energy issues in the country, providing substantial support in Peru as they progress in their energy transition, working with their national energy policy, the national transition policy. And a lot of these projects tie into these engagements that the embassy has had in Peru. Moreover, from a strategic perspective, things are very aligned with the UK's own strategy regarding the Clean Power Alliance, this global alliance for clean energy that the UK is promoting on a global scale. So the intervention areas for Peru, specifically what we are looking for the country, are two interventions. The first one seeks to facilitate and promote implementation of projects that increase access to clean energy mini grids in the Amazon regions of Peru. And the second one is creating a model that an implementation model for private investment, large scale private investment in the Amazon region in Peru. So what is the difference between both interventions? The first intervention seeks to identify projects that are already exist within government entities or private sector or multilateral, so existing projects, and close the gaps, close implementation gaps that these projects have. And even better, if there is a prioritization for projects that have an important social component in terms of education and the Amazon. The second project corresponds to creating, structuring a new model that can promote and facilitate the presence of the private sector in the Amazon. We're talking about new projects here, probably pilots. And the idea is for this to be a model that promotes private sector participation. It could be through private initiative, through private partnerships, through the different delivery mechanisms need to be designed, and whose objective is to promote access to clean energy in the Amazon. Elements such as blended finance that can reduce the risk of interventions are part of the second intervention. So under intervention number one, so facilitating and the implementation of projects that increase access to clean energy in the Amazon. So this entails reviewing existing projects, depending on our stakeholders' priorities, including ministries and energy suppliers, such as Electroriente or other actors that are identified. Also, projects coming from multilateral institutions such as the World Bank, the Inter-American Development Bank, also being mindful of local energetic plans in these sectors from the Loreto Department, for instance, and of course, private sector that already has scoped projects in the region. The objective is to prioritize projects that are feasible. And then item number two is to establish the potential of these projects or this project package that can be articulated with other financing mechanisms for multilateral financing. Item number three is reviewing the status and the advanced level of the project, so where they are, the status of these projects, and also contemplating how they can cover other social aspects within existing projects. And the objective is to create this roadmap to ensure implementation. Again, the objective is to close the technical gaps that existing projects have and closing the gaps to facilitate their implementation in the target region. The last item, obviously, is to create a mapping exercise of key actors, including government actors at the national and international level, public enterprises, private sector, among others. The three final points includes evaluating the project risks related to national protected areas, indigenous territories, and waste management processes. Also reviewing the status of prior consultation. And lastly, systematizing lessons learned and results presentations. Again, the goal is to close the technical gap in the implementation of existing projects from the organizations that we have identified previously. For intervention number two, what we seek to achieve is more long-term, not necessarily projects that already exist, but structuring a model that can promote or facilitate execution of private sector projects and reduce risk for the private sector to invest and develop projects in the Amazon region to promote clean energy. Item number one is to create an analysis and an analysis of existing legislation and barriers to entry for private sector actors into the Amazon region, identify the areas with highest population density and economic activity in the region. The focus of this intervention, again, is to prioritize and to increase project productivity. So it is important to identify these areas. It cannot be Loreto or other areas with little population density. Next item is to develop a viable proposal to optimize the implementation timeframes and define the delivery mechanism, which can be a public-private partnership, or through private investment directly, or other innovative mechanisms that can be identified as better suited for this region. Also, considering the technical design of the pilot, which is fundamental, more likely we're talking initiatives that are off-grid or not connected to the existing grid. The next items include incorporating co-financiation options or tariff structuring in the country, in the Amazon region, certainly, and identifying other potential mechanisms to reduce the gaps, which again potentially include blended finance. So identifying if through UK projects or existing UK projects with blended finance or through multilateral entities could like finance be complemented to reduce risk to the private sector. Point seven entails evaluating mechanisms that increase equitable access to financing, so including models of community property, investment funds directed to women. Next item is ensuring that the selection of areas, that areas with high potential include an analysis of energy poverty, gender inequality, and land rights and territory rights. The different potential partners for this intervention entail direct working with local governments. The United Kingdom already has extensive work with these and with these regions. But if other regions are identified as potential partners, that is absolutely valid. Working with public electricity delivery entities is also fundamental, such as the MINEM or the MEF, the Ministry of Economy and Finances, as well as PRODUCE, because of productive concerns, the Ministry of Agriculture and Agriculture Development, as well as a potential partner, if especially if we're thinking about APPs as a potential financial investment vehicle. Depending on what the objective is, if it's infrastructure development, if it's more of a political engagement process, different government actors will be relevant. So again, to summarize, intervention number one is to identify existing projects. Intervention two is to prioritize a new model that promotes new projects and new investment in the Amazon region, investment by the private sector again. And attempting to identify mechanisms such as blended finance that can reduce risk to the private sector. If, as a reminder, if you have any questions, you can submit them in the Q&A chat box, which we will be answering as they come in. If there are any unanswered questions, we will address them during the Q&A, and all of the answers will be published around next week. We will also give participants the opportunity to share questions with us over email, and all of these questions, answers to these questions, will be published in UK PAC's website. Now we are moving into the specific application process for the both of these clean energy initiatives. Regarding the application process, as we had mentioned before, this consists in an open call for proposals divided in two stages, which we will discuss in detail now. During stage number one, we are considering the expression of interest or EOIs for a capacity assessment of the components. This is the first stage we're currently at with different organizations that have the technical knowledge in the prioritized sectors that we mentioned. This technical assistance must be delivered in the eligible countries, so Bolivia and Peru. We intend that proponents have experience, provable experience through references from prior projects that they have engaged with during the last 5 years, and projects that have been implemented for more than a year, and with values higher than 300,000 British pounds. The evidence that can be provided for this EOI include final reports from the project, result publications, or similar documents that can prove the organization's experience in the sectors. Again, government agencies and subnational entities are not eligible, not as an organization, like a lead organization, or as part of a consortium. So these organizations are not eligible to participate. Lastly, submissions must be done through our web portal. You can log in to create an account and log in directly to our web portal and submit your EOI directly through this mechanism, this channel. Regarding of stage two of the selection process, we initially receive the EOIs. We filter those that match the selection criteria, and then we select. After applying this initial first filter, we invite selected or pre-selected EOIs to stage to participate in. The projects need to have a strategic alignment with UKCAT's priorities. They must demonstrate clear mechanisms to include our identified counterparts. They must display clear commitments to our counterparts. And they must display potential to be scaled at the subnational or national level. We also see that these projects are, again, not only scalable, but that they survive the project timeline. We encourage consortium with national entities and that have at least a local organization. Again, as we mentioned, for-profit organizations can participate, but they cannot be the lead organization consortium. The projects need to last, they'll have an expected lifespan of 18 months. And as we mentioned before, the project will be funded up to 500,000 British pounds per fiscal year, with max budget of 1 million British pounds. For a total execution of 18 months. It is very important for us and for UKPAC to promote GEDSI. So gender equality, disability, and social inclusion in all of the interventions, which again is a priority for UKPAC. Some other considerations and requirements. So projects will be selected through open competition. Through both of the aforementioned stages. These projects need to be executed between 12 and 18 months. And the following eligible expenses for the projects are consulting fees and personal fees needed to execute the project, reasonable travel expenses, and other directly attributable costs to the project, such as workshops, seminars, report writing, translation, editing, etc. Assets are not eligible expenses. For example, vehicles, machinery, IT equipment, these are not eligible expenses for the project. In terms of how to address the intervention areas, the proposals need to be presented and need to address at least one of the intervention areas that have been outlined. You can apply to multiple areas, but you cannot make multiple applications to the same area. A single project can respond to several intervention areas if the project has the technical capacity to address all of the presented technical areas, and each proposal will be evaluated independently. Something to flag is that we expect proposals to demonstrate impact during the first year, even if the project has a it lasts less than 18 years. We expect the proposal to identify how it's going to show impact. Proposals that show implementation plans with clear results, with measurable progress, will be prioritized, especially if these are contained during the current fiscal year, which runs through March 2026. So this is a very important aspect to include in the proposals and for submissions to keep mindful of. We also seek to address the needs and demands of each of the British embassies in country, and we expect the proposals to address transformational and flexible changes, opportunities for learning, and very important for them to be sustainable during the financing period and after the financing period. Something important to mention about the process and timeline of these stages. The expression of interest process has been opened. It started on June 5, and the deadline for the submission of the EOIs is 26. Afterwards, the team is going to review internally all of the EOIs and selected entities that pass this initial EOI filter will be invited to submit a full proposal, which should be submitted by July 23 as a deadline. The team will then move forward to review these full proposals, and the estimated start date for the project is September, October 2025. Throughout the selection process, there will be a co-creation process prior to signing the agreement, which allows us to slightly modify some of the work plans according to embassy needs and also budgetary or technical concerns. After the co-creation phase, we move forward to the signing moment, and we move forward to implementation of the project. The criterion that we will have to account for the evaluation of the second round, so the evaluation of the proposals, are prioritized, as you can see in the diagram. 70% corresponds to technical criteria, so impact, the technical focus, the work plan, JETS considerations, the experience, and other considerations. This corresponds to 70% of the weight in the assessment of the proposal. 20% corresponds to management, so project management and risk management. And 10% of the weight is given to financial considerations, considering the budget and other financial concerns process. It is very important for us to highlight that these proposals need to include the JETC approach through the impact framework that is proposed and the expected outcomes of the proposal. Some other items to keep in mind. The projects correspond to the terms of references. All of the documentation for what we're looking for can be found in UK PAC's webpage. The level of project needs to be aligned with the theory of change for UK PAC, related to the earlier interventions during this presentation. Different measurements for JEDC, so gender equality and social inclusion, need to be incorporated and accounted for. Results of evidence of results that have been reached and reporting on these results are part of the proposal as well. And a risk identification exercise with clear mitigation strategies needs to be included in the proposal. And the plans to ensure value for money and resource efficiency also need to be included, because we are going to evaluate this through the submission process. Moreover, UK PAC project needs to display evidence of their achieved outputs, in terms of the proposed outputs, but also in terms of measurement in JETC, gender equality and inclusion. We encourage participants to budget for these activities so that we can account for these budgeting and these activities while evaluating your proposals. Some key definitions that you are going to find in the documentation, and that is going to come up in the second proposal presentation, are information regarding inputs and activities, which consists the specific items to be implemented in the project, the outputs, which are the results of said inputs, are result out of these outputs, the intermediate outcomes, which are more of the results that come from preliminary adoption by stakeholders. The outcomes are the established result of the adoption of outputs. And lastly, our JETI contribution, which covers all of the relevant items to gender inclusion and disability. Regarding the documents that need to be presented, the templates that UKPAC uses for these proposals, they are all available online in the UKPAC webpage. And you will be able to find the template for the proposal, the template for the budget, the template for the work plan, the template for the theory of change, and also a template for the risk register. All of these templates are available again in the UKPAC webpage and need to be submitted in English. Proposals need to be submitted in English, and our revisions will be made in English as well. They need to be submitted to the email that you see on screen, amazonfund@ukpact.com.uk. Some other documents for your reference, the application for the EOIs, the terms of reference, which are available online, and the applicant manual, which goes in depth into the application process. All of this information is reflected in the terms of reference and in the applicant manual. Another relevant document is the JETI manual, again, which is available online. Another item to flag is that every single project that is selected is going to be requested quarterly progress reports and financial updates. UKPAC requests evidence from all the outcomes and outputs that have been identified for the project. And there is, on top of this quarterly review, we have yearly reviews of progress implementation, again, aligned with the outcomes and outputs that have been identified by the project. We are now going to move forward to the Q&A portion of the presentation. If there are any questions that have not been addressed in the chat box, we will attempt to answer them now. And after this Q&A, we will go quickly over the application timeline. We're just checking if our team has any questions to raise during the Q&A. So, yes, we do have some questions that can be addressed during the Q&A. We will quickly address these questions. Our team is going to share the questions and some of our panelists will address them. How many proposals will be selected in total? Will it be one proposal per project, so three proposals in total, or how many proposals are expected to be selected? So that's question number one. How many proposals are expected to be selected? So we expect to select one or two proposals, depending on the reach and how each proposal adheres to the needs of the client. But yeah, the expected number of proposals to be selected is one or two proposals. Regarding the Peru intervention number two in Peru. The question is if assets are eligible cost under the Peru intervention. The answer to this. The answer is no. Since these are asset purchases and will not be considered allowable costs. Again, the objective of this intervention is to provide technical assistance and the design of a model rather than the purchase of actual assets for the projects. So, in short, the answer is no, assets are not considered allowable costs under the intervention. Can projects focused on education and sensibilization, community sensibilization on efficient and safe energy use? Can projects focus on stakeholder engagement? This was a very common question, apparently, and several participants made it. And certainly, stakeholder engagement is an essential part of both projects. But it's not the ultimate goal. In this sense, stakeholder engagement is a component or should be a component of these projects, but shouldn't be the end focus, right? So, for example, in the specific case of Peru, that is defining investment readiness for projects and increasing private sector capacity to invest in the Amazon. Stakeholder engagement is fundamental for both of these projects, but it's not the end goal of the interventions. Okay, so any remaining questions that were not addressed, and will be addressed later on by our team, and we will publish those answers in our webpage. All of the pending questions in the chat will be addressed in said will be addressed and published in the webpage. And if there are any other additional questions, you can send them over to our email, and all of these questions will be reflected in our webpage as soon as possible. So to summarize and regarding next steps, this presentation will be recorded and published again in our UK PACT portal. In case you have any other questions, please send them to the email that you see on screen. The call for proposal was opened on June 5, and the deadline for the EOI submission is June 26. Again, out of those submissions, the second round will be selected. After the webinar, we will send a survey for participants to inquire about the quality of the webinar and address any other queries or questions that participants may have. If you have any technical issues when submitting the EOIs, or if you have any other technical issues in the submission process, you can contact us in the email on screen. And again, send us any additional question to this email, which will be reflected in our webpage as soon as possible. The deadline for question submission is tomorrow, and all of the questions with answers will be published by next week. Thank you very much for your time and participation. We are looking forward to receiving your EOIs, and thank you for joining today's event.